If you could get a glimpse into the heart of God, what do you think you would see? If you could get a glimpse into the heart of God, what is it that would stand out and to be so obvious when you saw it? I believe that this morning, if we could look inside the heart of God, we would see a heart that is longing for those who are lost to turn and to live. If you don't believe that, I want you to open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 18. Even if you do believe that, I still want you to open your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 18. And I want you to look at these verses that were read this morning, because this isn't something that we're just making up to fit a certain agenda or a certain topic that we want to talk about. Ezekiel chapter 18 is a text that just screams that the heart of God is longing for those who are outside a proper relationship with Him to make changes, to turn around and to come to Him and to live. And there's three things I want you to see very quickly as we look at these verses, in verses 21, 22, and 23 of Ezekiel chapter 18, that if we look at the heart of God, we see a heart that is longing for people who are away from Him to turn from their sinful ways. As you read through this chapter, you're going to find the word turn used in that particular way 6 different times. God's longing for them to turn and to turn and to turn. 6 different times in this chapter, He wants them to come back to Him. But look at verse 21. Verse 21, God is yearning for man to change his paths and to come back and to do what's right. He says in verse 21, but if a wicked man turns, if a wicked man does what? If a wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. God's greatest desire is for those who are outside of a right relationship with Him to make the changes that are necessary to come back, to turn in His direction, and to simply do what is right. How can man possibly know how to do that? How can man possibly know how to turn, where to turn, and how to know what's right? Wouldn't you know it that God tells us? Wouldn't you know it that it's not just that God says, I want you to turn away from what you're doing and come back to living a right life. He tells us in His Word exactly what we need to know. When God selected Saul of Tarsus to become the Apostle Paul, He told him in Acts chapter 26, beginning in verse 15, the verse that's before the screen, the one that's on the screen, and coming down to verse 16 through 18, He told him, I am sending you out to preach. I'm sending you out to preach the gospel. And the reason I'm sending you out to preach the gospel is so that you can turn individuals, so that you can turn them from the error of their way, to turn them from darkness to light. God was telling Saul, I'm giving you everything you need to know to help people to turn their lives around. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached the first gospel sermon in its entirety to preach about Jesus' death and burial and resurrection. And at the near the end of that sermon, down in verse 36, Peter said, you need to know, that all of the house of Israel needs to know assuredly, with absolute certainty, that God has made this Jesus, the one you crucified, God has made this Jesus both Lord and Christ. Did they have the information that they needed? They said in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? We believe what you're saying. We believe we've crucified the Son of God. What shall we do? And Peter said, repent, turn. How would they know how to do that? Based upon what they had learned, based upon what God was telling them. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If we could look into the heart of God, we would see a heart that is longing for people to turn. Can I ask you this morning, do we have that same heart? If someone could look into our hearts, collectively and individually, would they see someone who is longing for people who are lost to turn, to come to God? If our hearts are going to look like God's heart, we have got to yearn for people who are not right with Him to come back. But if you could look into the heart of God, Not only does Ezekiel chapter 21 teach us that you would see a heart that is longing for those who are lost to turn and come back to Him, you would see a heart that is longing for those who are lost to be forgiven of their sins. When you read through Ezekiel chapter 18, you see the word sin or one of its synonyms 27 times. Think about that. Here's a chapter. It's only got 32 verses in it. But 27 times you're going to read the word sin or wickedness or unfaithfulness. You're going to read the word wicked. You're going to read the word iniquity or abomination or transgression. 27 times in this chapter. What's this chapter about? It's about people who are lost in sin. But it's not God saying, oh, I don't want anything to do with you. It's not God shaking His finger at them saying, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Well, there's no hope for you. You read in this chapter about God's heart that is longing for those who are outside a right relationship to come back to Him so that, here's what God wants to do. God wants to remember no more sins. Look in verse 22. The first word I have in verse 22 is the word none. New King James has the word none at the beginning of verse 22. How many sins does God want to remember? None. That's the heart of God. The heart of God is not, as some people would have you to believe, well, he's just looking for you to do something wrong so He can send you to hell. That's not the heart of God. None of the transgressions, verse 22, which He has committed shall be remembered against Him. God is longing. Psalm 86 and verse 5 says He is ready to forgive. If man will just turn back to Him, how can I know how to be forgiven? God's given me the information. Aren't you glad that it's not just what God wants? It's not what He's just longing for, but He's told us what we need to know. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says God wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of what? The truth. How can I be saved? To learn the truth that God has given to me and to obey it. Jesus told His disciples, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes it, he who believes the gospel and is baptized, that person shall be saved. God has given us the information that we need so that we can be saved, so that we can share it with others. If we could look inside the heart of God, what would we see? We'd see a heart that's longing for people to come to Him. We'd see a heart that is longing to forgive people of all sins. Brother and sister in Christ, do we have that same heart? If somebody could look inside of our heart, if somebody could look inside of our heart, would they see a forgiving heart? Would they see a forgiving spirit? Or would they see somebody who says, oh, I don't know if I really want to forgive that person. If you knew what they had done against me, I'm not really sure that I want to forgive that person. If you knew what every person on earth had done against God, you think He would want to forgive any of us? Do we have the same heart that God has, longing for people to be forgiven of their sins? The third thing we see in Ezekiel chapter 18, if we could look inside the heart of God, is not only is He longing for them to come to Him, to turn from their sinful ways and to be forgiven. But God is longing for all souls to live with Him eternally in heaven. If you read through Ezekiel chapter 18, you're going to find the word live or the word alive 13 times. Are you getting a taste of this chapter? This chapter is about turning away from sin 27 times and living 13 times. It's interesting that the word die is found 13 times. The word live or alive is found 13 times because that's what God is longing for. Do you know, verse 23, that God does not find any pleasure in sending anybody to hell? Again, that may run contrary to what you've heard about some people and what they believe about God. That He's just longing to send people to hell. That's not the God of heaven. The God of heaven does not longing for anybody to go to hell. Look in verse 23. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God, and not that he should turn from his ways and live? Look in verse 32. He answers the question. Verse 23 is rhetorical, but he answers in verse 32. I have no pleasure in the death of one who dies. Therefore, turn and live. If you want to see that expounded even more, to see the heart of God, look in chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 11. God says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live. Turn, turn. Do you see it twice in that verse? Turn, turn from your evil ways. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Do you hear the heart of God pleading with man to turn from their wicked ways, to come back to him? He does not want to send a single person to hell. God is not willing that anyone should perish, 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. But he leaves it up to us to choose. He gives the choice to us. What he longs for is every man to come and to live with him eternally. And he has told us how to do it. It's not just what he wants to happen. He's given us the information in order to know how to live. You know John 3 and verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The next verse says, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus said in John chapter 12, verse 48, in order to be ready for that day of judgment, he's given us the information. The words that he has spoken will be that standard of judgment on the last day. If you looked inside the heart of God, you would see a heart that is longing for people to live with him eternally. And so can I ask you, is that our heart? Collectively, individually, do we have the heart of God that is longing for every soul to turn to God, longing for every soul to be forgiven, longing for every soul to live with him eternally? If I know the heart of this church, I would have to say the answer to those three questions that have been at the bottom of the last three slides, if I know the heart of this church collectively, it is that yes, this church does long for the world to turn to God, does long for the world to be forgiven, does long for the world to be saved and to live with him eternally. How do I know that? Because of the last 17 years of Mission Sundays. Last week we talked about what the Lord has been able to do with us and through us during these last 17 years through this congregation's efforts of Mission Sunday at the end of January every year. Mission Sunday shows me that the heart of this church reflects the heart of God, longing for the world to be saved. And we've got an opportunity next Sunday again, Mission Sunday, January 31st, where on that day, every dollar that is given that day is going to be used for mission work this year. And as we did last year, you'll be able to do it online. There's some people who are obviously giving online, and some folks will say, well, what? How do I do it? Those who are still at home and watching from home, and how do I do that? It's online, and everything that's given online next week will go towards mission work. Everything that's put in the baskets here will go to our mission work this year. Were you excited last week to just see a glimpse of how God has used us, not for our glory, but for His glory? This morning I want to share with you the elders' challenges for us this year. What can we do in mission work in 2021? How can God use us, not for our glory, but for His glory? I want you to be as excited as I am to think about how the Lord can utilize little old Palm Beach Lakes to reach around to the lost of this world, to help them to be forgiven, to live with Him eternally. As we've done every year, we present a pyramid, as it were, of works. And the more that we are able to give next week, the more we will be able to do in serving the Lord. And the pyramid always starts out with the base, with the foundation. In this year of 2021, we need to be able to give $73,950 in order to just cover those works that we are already committed to. Why is that slide coming up? Did I skip a slide? Ivan? There we go. There we go. Sorry. That was not what I expected it to be. As you think about our base works, think about works that we're already committed to. We have missionaries that we support around the world. One of those missionaries is over in Africa named Nana Afforji. We've supported him since 1994, and Nana is one of the hardest workers that I know in the kingdom of God. And if you lived and worked in Nigeria, you would have to be a hard worker for the Lord as well. And as you think about works that we have supported all of these years, you think about Tamuka, who's also over in Africa. Tamuka is not in Nigeria. He's in a worse place, if it's possible, than Nigeria. He's in Zimbabwe. Right now, Zimbabwe is in a 30-day lockdown. Nobody is allowed out of their houses for 30 days because of COVID. But Zimbabwe is not some paradise even when you're not unlocked down. If you go and look at what's happened there in recent years in their political system and their inflation and all that they have had to endure, and yet Tamuka is one of the hardest workers that I know in the kingdom of God anywhere in the world. He's working with multiple congregations in Zimbabwe, and you look at the picture of him and his truck, and can you imagine buying tires in Zimbabwe for a truck and driving on those roads there? Guess why he needs to buy new tires every year or every other year? Because you don't get very good tires and you got horrible roads that you're driving on, and yet he's all over that area helping the church. As you think about the works that we are already involved in, you go from Africa and you go over to the Pacific and you get to one of our favorite missionaries, and that's Robert Martin, who we have supported for 30 years, more than 30 years, out in the Pacific Islands. He's one of the most exciting missionaries to hear him talk about the work of the church. He's one of those guys that when he comes to town, he just energizes you to hear about what he is doing and how we are a small part of what he's doing out in the Pacific. When you're out there in the Pacific, you got to go over to Guam, where Joey Treat is now working. Joey has worked at various islands around the Pacific Islands, but just this last year he moved to Guam with his family, and he's working with three congregations around that island. But just recently, he in his report, I hope you all get his reports, and if you don't, give me your email address and I'll send it to him so you can get his reports. You may have seen in one of his recent reports that congregational singing was outlawed in Guam. Not allowed to sing as a congregation because, you might spread some kind of virus. And so, well, what do? Do you gather together on the first day of the week with the congregation and you don't sing? It's a commandment of God to sing as a part of your worship. So they're worshiping in their homes, worshiping from home until they're able to get back together as a congregation. But Joey and Tammy are there. They were supposed to come home and do some reporting this year, but because of COVID, they were not able to leave Guam. And the Parker family is just the opposite. The Parker family came home to report right before COVID, and guess what? They can't get back. They have been stuck in the U.S. trying to get back out to Ponape to work with the congregation there because of COVID. And yet they've been encouraging the church there, sending materials out there and trying to encourage them in the process. But these are works that we have been involved in, many of them for just a number of years, some of them like the Parkers more recently. But you come closer to home and you have Mauricio Yegros and his family, who worked down with started out with a Hispanic group down in Coral Springs, but now on Sundays they have an English service and a Spanish worship service that they are trying to reach out to both the English and Spanish people speaking down in Coral Springs. And the picture up in the top left is actually out of date because now they've got three kiddos. Lucas was born back in October, but Mauricio and Kayla are doing a great work down there with that team. If you come just a little bit closer to home, but you have to go east from there, you get over to 8 Mile Rock and Grand Bahama Island, and you find Tavaro Hena. Again, that picture in the top left is a little out of date. You see that picture? They had three girls. They now have four girls. And I haven't checked Facebook today, but today she is due with number five. But not a girl. It's a boy this time. Tavaro's very happy. But baby number five is due today for this family. But they have been doing, as you know, they've only been there for a couple years, but doing a great work over there. And he is so energetic in reaching out to the community and the people around there and engaging in a number of different programs. And obviously COVID has hurt them in that respect in a lot of ways, but is trying to get a lot of those going again. As you think about those works that are here in the States, just a couple years ago, we were able to add Robert C. Lupo, different from our Robert J. Lupo, but Robert and Josh's uncle up in Sneedville, Tennessee, and the work that he's doing up in that small city without a whole lot of resources and a small congregation there, and he and his wife and his family are doing a great work with that congregation up there. But as you think about other works that we've been involved in, you think about Apologetics Press. We've been involved with Apologetics Press since, I think, 1994, initially in our support, and then engaged in an even closer relationship with them in the 2000s as our elders started working very closely with that organization. But think about all the good that Apologetics Press does. You think about their website, the wealth of information that is on their website. You think about their publications. And, you know, if your kids enjoy dinosaurs, think about all that Apologetics Press has for dinosaurs. Your kids hear a whole lot of junk about dinosaurs that's not true in school and on television. Check out their website. Get their books from Apologetics Press about dinosaurs and let your kids learn the truth about those creatures that God made. You think about the Bible that they put together and the great resource that is. What a humbling reality that we've been able to help this organization in some way in furthering the gospel of Christ. As you think about what we have been able to do in various places, we for years have been sending our senior high out on mission trips, and this year again, we will be sending out the senior high and a group of adults on a mission trip. The destination is still to be determined. It's COVID dependent upon where that destination will be, but there will be a mission trip, and it will be to some place that is COVID ready for us to come. But you know, you think about these trips and the life-changing experience it is for our young people, for the adults that go, for those who are wherever their destination is. And this year, they will be able to go on another trip if we are able to reach that level of $73,950. It is our hope this year for Josh to be able to go back to Easter Island. Wasn't able to go in 2020. Stinking COVID kept Josh home from Easter Island in 2020. He's been worshiping with them every Sunday online. But we need Josh to go back, and so there's trips planned this year for him to be able to return and to encourage the church down there, the four members of that congregation, to be able to continue teaching Bible studies down there. And so we're looking forward to that being able to happen with those restrictions being lifted. And then the last thing on our base is just the mailing out of House to House, Heart to Heart. That great publication that we're now able to send out every month that goes to about 3,300 or so homes around the building here that rotates every month to a different homes so that various homes are getting it on a rotating basis. But that beautiful publication with the simplicity of the gospel message being presented inside of that is being mailed out around here so that the seed of the gospel is being presented to people who are in need of it. Brother and sister in Christ, next Sunday, we need to be able to give $73,950 to be able to meet these commitments that we have already made. You know what our history is in Mission Sundays. You know that at the beginning that sounded like a large number, and it's $73,000 is a large number. But this congregation has dug deep for 17 years. Has sacrificed for 17 years, and amazingly has given more than $73,000 for more than 17 years. And so the elder said, what can we do? If we give more than $73,000 next Sunday, what more can we do? If we were able to give $91,450 next Sunday, then when Josh makes those trips to Easter Island, he'll still be able to take some Bibles with him. We put this in the pyramid every year because it's amazing that there's not a single place down there that you can buy a Bible. Can you believe that you could live in a land that doesn't sell Bibles? Well, Josh goes in, and I love this picture on the screen that just says free Bibles. We're not going there to sell them. Josh taking them there to give them away so that people can have the knowledge of how they can turn to God, be forgiven, and live with Him eternally. Josh will be able to take those Bibles with him. If we're able to reach this level, then those who go on other mission trips, and that's some of you sometimes where you have an opportunity to go on a mission trip domestically or internationally with some group that's going, and sometimes our college students, when they're at college, they get involved in a group going on a mission trip, and they write to Palm Beach Lake, say, hey, can you help support us? And it's Mission Sunday money that is able to help them out and give them some funds to help them go on those mission trips. And so if we reach this level, we'll be able to help those who are going on various mission trips. But what else can we do if we reach this level? There's some of our missionaries that are down in this base. There's some of our missionaries who have let our elders know that COVID has hurt them. That because of the various things that have affected the land where they are, the area that where they are, and the fact that their congregations have not been able to meet, that some of their support has dropped. And so our elders thought, you know what? What if we put in the pyramid of Mission Sunday a place where we can send not an ongoing support, but just a one-time help to our missionaries? Say, we can't help a lot, but here we want to help some with you with how much maybe you have lost in your support. Wouldn't it be nice if you were a missionary on the field to get an unexpected check from Palm Beach Lakes that says, we love you. We appreciate what you are doing. We're sorry that you have lost some support. We just want to be able to help out a little bit to help you get back on your feet. As congregations be able to pick up their support again in 2021, we want to help you out. If we're able to give next week $91,450, we'll be able to do all of these things. But what if we were able to give more than that? What if we were able to give next Sunday $111,950? Is there more that we could do? As the elders talked about various things that could be involved in all of these levels, you know, it's fun to sit in meetings with the elders and hear them talk about what could we do and where is our money best used for the furtherance of the gospel. And so for the last several years, In Search of the Lord's Way, that television program has been a part of our Mission Sunday because our elders believe in that television program. It's on every Sunday morning, 7 o'clock our time, 7 a.m. on WGN. Did you watch it this morning? It was about the sayings of Jesus while He was on the cross this morning. Maybe you watched last week. You can go to YouTube. You can go to their YouTube channel. You can watch all of them. And they're uploading some from previous years. Past episodes that were from years ago, they're uploading them to their YouTube channel. Last week's episode was on what is truth. But what a great resource to be able to help Phil Sanders and that organization to continue to put this on television every week. To continue to generate their YouTube channel, and I would encourage you to go on there and watch them. If you're in a workplace where you can put things on in the background and listen to them, use our website for that. Use Apologetics Press. Use this website. Go and watch. Go and listen to Phil's lessons and be encouraged. And so if we are able to give $111,950 next week, we'll be able to send a check out to In Search of the Lord's Way. Over here on the left-hand side of that particular level is a blank that I'm going to leave blank for right now. And the elders are going to come up in a little while and fill that in. And what the elders have to fill in right there is really cool and is really exciting. So I'm just going to leave that. You just leave that little slot there for the elders and let them come up here in just a little while and tell you what's going to go in that little slot right there. But what if we could give more than $111,000? What if we could give $125,950 next week and you think there's no way we can give that much money? Were you here last week? We have averaged for 17 years more than $130,000. That is just amazing. An amazing testimony to the heart of this church. What if we were able to give $125,950 next week? Many of you know the name of Dominic Dos Santos. Dominic is from Trinidad, has worked in Trinidad for many years down there. Dominic is spoke on our lectureship a year ago. He's spoken here a number of times. Many of us have traveled down there on mission trips to Trinidad to work with them in campaigns. And so many of us know Dominic and have come to love him. And Dominic wrote the elders a month or two ago and said, if there's any way that Palm Beach Lakes could help me. Dominic does counseling. That's how he earns a living. He works as the director of the School of Preaching there, but he doesn't earn money from that. He's a counselor, but guess what COVID did for counseling in Trinidad? He hasn't been able to counsel like he used to, and so his income has dropped. And so he wrote the elders a couple months ago and said, if there's any way Palm Beach Lakes could help. And so the elders said, what about Mission Sunday? What about a Mission Sunday if we could get enough money to send some help down to Dominic? Just some help in 2021 until COVID passes and he's able to start his counseling again, able to earn money and be able to continue doing what he's doing for the church and for the School of Preaching there. And so the elders would like us to be able to help Dominic out. Dominic's going to be here in August of this year to speak on our weekend with our young people, our Charged by Christ weekend. But if we're able to give $125,950 next week, we can help Dominic Dos Santos. You see on the left side up here, there's another blank. There's another hole. I'm going to leave that right there for our elders to come up and fill in just a minute, because what they have to put there is really cool. And what so I'm not going to steal anything that they're going to say, but we've got two blanks here that our elders are going to come up here in just a minute, and they're going to let you, if we're able to get $125,950 next week, we're going to be able to do both of these things that our elders have been talking about for the last couple of years for us to be able to do. But what if we're able to give more? What if we're able to reach up to even where we have averaged for the last 17 years, to $136,950? What could we do? Robert Martin wrote to the elders just a few weeks ago. Robert Martin, a missionary we love out in the Pacific. And he said, if there's any way that Palm Beach Lakes could help with the PIBC, which is an abbreviation that fits that hole up there, the Pacific Islands Bible College. He said, we need some help with our Pacific Islands Bible College. That if you've been here for Robert's reports, you have heard him talk about Pacific Islands Bible College. It's something that Robert started 25 years ago. And you hear Bible College, and as you've heard Robert talk about it, Robert has said, out in the Pacific, those Christians out there, they cannot leave where they are and go to a Bible college and be trained in Bible teachings. And so what Robert determined to do 25 years ago is to take the Bible college to those Christians in the various islands. So instead of them leaving home and coming to a college, he takes the Bible college to them. And so for the last 25 years, that's what Robert has been doing. And using not only himself and some of the missionaries out there, but using a variety of teachers that he has confidence in to bring them from the States and to come out and teach various courses in the Pacific Islands Bible College. So Robert wrote the elders a few weeks ago and said, if there's any way that Palm Beach Lakes could help just in the travel expenses, it costs about $5,000 to fly out there and back. And he says, if there's any way that Palm Beach Lakes could help in sending out these teachers in order to be able to teach in the Bible College, he said, I would really appreciate that. Pacific Islands Bible College would benefit from it. Just, I think on Friday, Robert wrote me an email. And he said, if you could read this email during your Mission Sunday on Sunday, I would appreciate it. And when Robert Martin asked me to do something, generally I concur and I do it. But I want you to listen. Here, if you want to hear the heart of Robert Martin. Robert says, God bless the Palm Beach Lakes congregation on your 18th year of Mission Sunday. He must have been watching last week. Mary and I want you all to know how thankful we are for you all blessing our lives and the work we do for Jesus throughout the Pacific Islands. Think about that. Robert's got all sorts of congregations that help him. Think about him saying this to us. You all are such a blessing to our family and the taking of the gospel throughout the Pacific Islands. Because of you, in all caps, Y-O-U, because of you, we are impacting the lives of 3,000 Christians who we are teaching and training through Pacific Islands Bible College throughout the Pacific Islands. We believe that you will reach your goal for raising funds for missions because of the loving and giving Christians at Palm Beach Lakes. Keep us in your love, care, and prayer always, workers together for the cause of Christ, Robert and Mary Martin. Robert is a special individual who loves this congregation, and we love him. And how great would it be for us to be able to help out the Pacific Islands Bible College, being able to help those teachers get out there and teach those Christians. What else could we do if we reach this level? For the last few years, we've been able to help out the Trinidad School of Preaching, a school down there that's been in existence for the last 50 years. They have trained preachers all over the Caribbean, but they've had students from all over the world to come to that little school down in Trinidad. Dominic is the director there, and COVID has hit them, and their number of students has gone down, and yet many of their classes have gone online. And in fact, they're taking some of their courses even into the congregations there and trying to teach those courses in those congregations. But Dominic said, if there's any way you can help the school. And so the elders said, if we could reach $136,950 in our mission Sunday, and we'd be able to help out not only Dominic, but help out the School of Preaching down there. But what if we could give more than $136,950? I assure you that our elders have even more things that they would like to do. There's more things on their list that could not be put on the pyramid this year. And if we want to do more, we could give more and challenge our elders to come up with those things that we could continue to use to help people to turn from their sinful ways, to be forgiven of their sins, to live with God eternally. But there's two blanks on this pyramid. What could go in those blanks? I want you to listen with excitement to our elders as they come and as they share with us plans that they have been making for the last couple of years and how those are coming into reality, even as a part of Mission Sunday this year.
Good morning. For the last 17 years, this congregation has supported missions around the world for our Mission Sunday event every January.
Last year, this congregation contributed over $160,000 on that day. This eldership recognizes the sincere desire of this congregation to support mission work and missionaries around the world. Over the years, we have supported some great works like Apologetic Press, In Search of the Lord's Way, House to House, Heart to Heart, and other beneficial works. What a blessing it has been to be associated with these organizations for so many years. Last year, the elders spent a lot of time discussing how we could increase the mission work at Palm Beach Lakes. How can we do more? What can Palm Beach Lakes do to reach more lost souls? We want to share with you this morning the outcome of those discussions. We are this year creating an initiative to evangelize America and the world, which we are going to call Palm Beach Lakes World Missions. This new work will be responsible for reaching out to and working with congregations in Florida and around the U.S., assisting mission works on foreign soils, planting congregations in due course. We foresee initially having our evangelists and perhaps other evangelists go to places to conduct gospel meetings, leadership training workshops, and evangelism workshops. We envision opportunities for members of this congregation to go on mission trips and be heavily involved in these efforts. This new effort does not replace the works that we are already involved in, but will bring new opportunities to spread God's word in our nation and the world. There are many different elements of this mission effort to be developed, and there's much organization that will be necessary of the various facets of this work. So, the elders recognize that we need a person to oversee this bold endeavor. We need someone with mission experience, someone that can preach the truth and has a deep desire to teach the gospel to the lost world. We think that person is Josh Blackmer. Josh and his family were missionaries in Paraguay for 5 years. Josh has continued his mission work with Paraguay to a certain degree and was very influential in planting the church on Easter Island. This is truly a monumental step to take, but it's well worth it when we think of the impact the Palm Beach Lakes will have in the world. Because this new work will be conducted on such a large scale, we are asking another person to be a large part of Palm Beach Lakes World Missions. We need someone with extremely keen teaching and preaching skills, someone who has years and years of missionary experience. So the eldership has asked our Dan Jenkins to work with Josh in the World Mission Program. As of this month, Dan and Judy have been with this congregation for 39 years, and we appreciate the experience they will bring to this program. The last aspect of this program involves you. First of all, please pray for the elders. Pray for Josh and Dan. And pray for the efforts of this program to reach the lost souls around the world. Additionally, we need to take ownership of this new work by giving funds on Mission Sunday and participating in the works that will be planned in the near future. It is the elders' hope that many members will want to be involved in Palm Beach Lakes World Missions. We are really excited about it. And now, here is Brother Phil Porter to present another segment of this work.
Josh and Kara have been working Palm Beach Lakes for 16 and a half years. We want to thank them for working with the families and youth and also for their time in Paraguay. It is the elders' hope and prayer that this new effort grows through the coming years. Because of this, we anticipate a time when Josh will not have sufficient time to spend on the family youth work. So with much prayer and consideration, and we're hoping that in 2 years that we will be able to bring on board a new family youth evangelist. We have met with this individual and have discussed the future needs and plans of our family youth work. This man is someone the congregation knows and loves and has been part of our family here for 20 years. In the summer of 2023, we prayerfully expect to bring Robert Lupo on board after he finishes his preacher training program at Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies in Knoxville, Tennessee. Robert and his wife, Rihanna, will leave for Knoxville this summer to attend the School of Preaching. We appreciate their great desire to come back here and to work with this congregation in the near future. Please keep Robert and Rihanna in your prayers as well. As an eldership, we are excited about these plans for the future of this congregation, and more details will be coming, and we hope that you'll be excited and involved as well. Now it's here, Josh Blackmer, with a few words about Palm Beach Lakes World Missions.
Are you excited yet? I have been waiting to talk about this for so long. We're excited about this new endeavor, excited about what's going on, and just want to take a moment to kind of unpack what the elders are talking about here. This is born out of your love for mission work. This could not have happened if it wasn't for you. So it's born out of that. It's born out of the leadership of this eldership and what they're striving to do to reach the lost world. So that's where this is coming from. Our example for such an effort comes from the first century congregations. Antioch was a congregation that sent out so many efforts into the Gentile world. And so we're doing that same thing, continuing to make a concerted effort in missions. So our mission statement for Palm Beach Lakes World Missions is: our mission is to labor with existing congregations and new works in the Lord's church in evangelizing, edifying, and equipping the saints for greater service in both domestic and foreign fields. Does America need the gospel? Has America always needed the gospel? But does it feel like it needs it more now? Yes. America needs the gospel. The world needs the gospel. And that's what our endeavor is, to reach those things. And so some of the examples might include, with evangelizing, with these three words, these three key words, evangelizing, we have gospel meetings, door knocking or canvassing, mission trips in foreign and domestic fields, working with established congregation or mission points, or establishing new works in congregations in the future. With edifying, of course, sending groups for domestic congregations, seminars, leadership workshops, in equipping, sending printing materials, preparing teachers, forming mission teams. And there's many other things that can be mentioned, but this gives you an idea of the scope of what we're trying to do and the effort that we're wanting to do. And this will not all be done in the first year. There will be a lot of planning and preparation involved in this first year. But you will hear prayer requests being made on this endeavor. You'll hear of Dan doing seminars and gospel meetings and training workshops in this first year. And you will have opportunities to work with other congregations and various mission points here locally or around the nation or even around the globe. But please be prepared to help in any way you can. Please be praying for this effort. And our prayer should be that the kingdom will grow and that the Lord will receive the glory for this effort. Amen.
Is that exciting? I mean, it has been so exciting to sit and to listen to the elders planning. They've been talking about this for over a year and making plans, and then COVID hit, and then all of a sudden their attention was on COVID. But even in the midst of all of the COVID stuff happening, to keep coming back to and talking about this and having special meetings and working out all of the details on this, I am thankful for the elders of this congregation. I'm thankful for the vision that they have that says, we are doing what we are doing, but that question that they had in the announcement, what more can we do? You know, some places would be saying, oh, we're already doing enough. We're already involved in all these places. We already have Mission Sunday. We've already got these. We're doing enough. Our elders are not satisfied. They look at this and say, what more can Palm Beach Lakes do? And Josh is exactly right. This was born out of this congregation's love for mission work, was born out of this congregation's love for Mission Sunday. So this has been exciting. So I want to add to the pyramid here. If we are able on next Sunday to give $111,950, then we'll be able to support Robert and Rihanna at Southeast Institute of Biblical Studies. They need our support. They're already planning to go. August is going to be here before you know it. We are not giving them 100% of their support. Part of going to a school of preaching and part of being a missionary is raising funds. It helps you. It doesn't feel like it at the time, but it helps you to raise funds and to get engaged with other congregations and to talk to them. And so Robert's going to be going out and talking to other congregations and trying to raise a good amount of his support, but Palm Beach Lakes is going to kind of be his overseeing congregation. Everybody else's support is going to be coming to us, as we have done with others, and we will be overseeing that work. But we need to be able to give $111,000 next week in order to help this great couple to move up there in August, be able to begin going to school there. It's a two-year program, as was mentioned, and he will graduate the summer of 2023. So exciting things as the elders sat and talked about, you know, our family youth work, and as they talked about different people and that could do this, and then all of a sudden the desire that Robert had to go to a school of preaching, and it was as if the Lord was working providentially to get his desires to go to a school of preaching, to get the elders' desire to get our new work involved and get someone else in. It's like the Lord was working all of that out just right. If we could give $125,950 next week, then this initial phase of Palm Beach Lakes World Missions can become a reality. This is something, Palm Beach Lakes World Missions, as they've said, is something that's long-term. It has great, lofty goals, but as Josh said, it's going to start small, especially this first year, and it will grow gradually as it is able to grow. And as needs and opportunities are seen, then those will be fulfilled, but there will just be a gradual development of this program, and it is just simply branching out, increasing the mission work that we are doing, starting with maybe some small congregations here in Florida that we can reach out to and help in various ways, and then growing it from there. But Josh is going to continue doing at the same time he's beginning the PBL mission, World Missions. He's going to continue for the next 2 years our family youth work. And so don't think that Josh is stepping out of that today. He's going to continue doing that for the next 2 years until Robert's able to pick that up in 2023. But during his breaks, this couple is going to be coming down on their breaks, and Robert will be interning here on those breaks and working with the congregation then. So a lot of exciting things ahead for this congregation. I am thankful for a group of elders, a group of men who have vision, who are willing to step out on faith. We said last week, that's how Mission Sunday started. Mission Sunday started with an eldership stepping out on faith. They took all of our mission work out of the regular budget and put it into one day. Could we possibly cover it in one day? They stepped out in faith 17 years ago. And here they are doing it again, saying, what more can we do? Thank God for the heart of Palm Beach Lakes. Would you pray with me? Our Holy Father, we are humbled that you have found a place for us. A place for us in your kingdom. A place for us in this congregation. A place for us to serve you. Father, we are thankful for all that we have been able to do in the years past. And Father, we are excited about what the elders have presented to us in these challenges this day and what we will be able to do this year and in the future. Father, we pray that you would be with us, be with our elders, be with Josh and Dan, with Robert and Rihanna. Father, help us to recognize that none of this has anything to do with us, that all of this has everything to do with you, with your Son, with your kingdom, and the furtherance of your cause on this earth. And Father, we are excited that we get to be a part of it. Father, we pray this day, we honestly pray this day that you will use us, that you will open doors of opportunity before us, and that your work will be done through us and with us on this earth. Father, as we think about Mission Sunday next week, help each of us to look within, to look inside of our hearts, to think about what we can give, what we can sacrifice on that day to see your work done on this earth. Father, we are thankful that we get to be a small part of it. But Father, whatever part it is, we pray that we will be used for your furtherance on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What our Mission Sunday is all about is what we've been talking about today. Mission Sunday, the heart of Mission Sunday, is longing for the lost to turn and live. And I'm thankful for the challenges that our elders have presented to us today. As you think about your life today, do you know that the very things that we have been talking about today are the things that God longs, not just for the world, they are the things that God longs for you. God longs for you this day to turn from your sinful ways. God longs for you this day to be forgiven of your sins. God longs for you this day to make up your mind to live the life so that you can live with Him eternally. And wouldn't you know, He's given us the instructions on how to do it. He simply told us that we need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He came to this earth, that He lived a sinless life in order that He might die on that cross for us, that His blood might be shed to forgive us of all of our sins, raised from the dead on that third day. Do you believe that this morning? If you believe that with all of your heart, that ought to cause you to do exactly what God said in Ezekiel chapter 18, to turn from your sin, to turn your life in the direction of God, to repent. To make up your mind to this day, you want to stop doing what's wrong, start doing what's right. If that's your determination this day, you can confess the faith that is in your heart and be baptized. Be immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of every single one of your sins. God is longing this day to remember no more of your sins. He's ready to forgive you if you will obey Him and to be raised to walk a new life, to be raised to walk a faithful life in service to Him. The song that we are going to sing says it's only a step. It's only a step to give your life to Him. Will you take that step today? The song says, "Come, for He loves you so." He loves you. He wants you to come to Him this morning and give your life to Him. If you need to do that, we encourage you to do it right now as together we stand and sing.